things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for having this opportunity to come together and worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Believing, Father, we are living in a time which is very perilous. Your scripture says that at the end time is a time of distress. We realize, Lord, this day, yesterday actually, that Pope has come to America, and your prophet said that when he came the last time, it was a judgment. He sees to come this time, and it's also going to be a blacking out of the moon, actually a blood moon when he leaves. Father, we ask you to help us to prepare for going home, realizing that we're in very treacherous times. We have a dictator in the White House. This nation is crumbling. The churches are falling apart. The economy is falling apart. The people are going insane. Keep us, O God, and help us be ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tuesday, yesterday, the Pope arrived in America, and today he had White House meeting with the President. Tomorrow he has a speech to the Senate and House of Representatives, a joint session. Then he goes to New York on Friday. He meets with the United Nations General Assembly. They've been pushing to separate Israel into a Palestinian state and an Israeli state. I wonder if that's going to be brought up then. Also, the UN is having their 70th, or they're calling it their jubilee, and the Jews are coming up to their jubilee. So next Sunday, we'll enter into the jubilee. The 26th Saturday, he visits Festival of Families at Benjamin Franklin Parkway, and he's going to be speaking from the very podium that I believe it was George Washington addressed the Congress, Continental Congress. You know, it's interesting. New York, Washington, New York, Philadelphia. This is America. This is the where it all began. And this guy is going, and we have no idea what he's got going. Well, we do. Sunday, he has his big mass and departs to Rome. Then we have fourth blood moon. And Sunday also begins the seventh, which is the final feast of the year for the Jews. It's the Feast of Tabernacles, called Yom Kippur, Feast of Atonement. And Tabernacles means tents, Feast of Tents. I like that. I hope it's synonymous. I hope it means something. But anyway, I believe that the economy is going to go very soon. And if the squeeze hasn't already begun, it will. Of course, the squeeze will get the people ready that aren't ready. And but just remember one thing: squeeze moves into tribulation at one point. So, how long it's going to be, we don't know. I don't think it'll be too long. But when the banks go, it's going to be probably 3 months of anarchy. Maybe 3 months of people not knowing what's going on, can't get money, can't buy food. They'll have plenty of food, but they just can't get it to the stores. So we know that when the judgments came down in Egypt, the ocean was protected by God. So all we have to do is trust in the Lord, that He's our everything. Now this evening I'd like to take our text from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because we know already in this series Brother Bram taught us that the scripture refers to the token. We know that God is love, we know the Bible says that He's love, and we know He is the Holy Ghost, and in this sermon we hear Brother Bram teach us that the Holy Ghost is the token, and we know that it is the very God life that lived in the blood of the Lamb that was slain, Jesus the Son of God. And that life was released from the Son of God at Calvary and has come back upon us. So let's read for our text what the Apostle Paul, with a little help from Brother Branham, because we're going to change the word love and replace it with the token. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not the token, which is the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out from me, I become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not the token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out for me, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not the token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out for me, it profiteth me nothing. The token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out from me, suffereth long and is kind. The token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out from me, envieth not. The token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out from me, vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. The token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out from me, doth not behave itself unseemly. The token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ, expressing itself out for me, seeketh not its own. In other words, it's not self-living, self-taught, self-centered. The token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ, expressing itself out for me, is not easily provoked. The token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ, expressing itself out for me, thinketh no evil. That's probably the hardest one for most of us, I think. Not that we think evil, but we know that people do, and we just don't want to think evil in return. The Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out for me, rejoices not in iniquity. But the token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out for me, rejoices in the truth. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, I might just go ahead and vote for Hillary just to get it done. Don't do that. Then you're guilty. Don't do that. Don't wish it. You know, when prophecy tells us something is going to come as calamitous, don't wish it upon anybody. Just pray that you can be somehow avoided. The token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out for me, beareth all things. And the token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out for me, believeth all things. And the token, which is the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out from me, hopes all things. The token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out for me, endures all things. The token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out for me, never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, in other words, when I applied the token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out for me, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then faith. Then when the token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expressing itself out for me, that is when I shall see him face to face, because I'm looking in the mirror and I actually see him. Now I know in part, but then, when the token, the Holy Ghost, the very life expresses itself out from me, shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and the token, the Holy Ghost. The very life of Christ expressing itself out from me, these three. But the greatest of these is when the token, the Holy Ghost, the very life of Christ expresses itself out from me. You see, love is always an action. Love is never passive. Love is never innate. Love is motion. Love is action. For God so loved, he gave. For God so loved, he gave. Paul says, there remaineth faith, which is revelation, hope, which is an earnest expectation, and love, which is an expression of the revelation. So it's got to be expressed. The love is an expression of the revelation. Love is an expression of faith. Faith builds up and brings on an earnest expectation. The earnest expectation puts into motion, puts into application the faith. So that is the token, the Holy Ghost. It is the very life of Christ expressing itself out from us. It is the application of the token. As Brother Brown said, it must be applied. Now let's pick up where we left off on Sunday, and we're going to read from paragraph 75, where Brother Branham said the Jews, no matter how much they could prove that they were circumcised, but the token had to be showed. Now the word showed that Brother Branham uses here, it means that it had to be expressed or manifested. That's what the word show means. It means expressed and manifested openly. Then Brother Branham adds, if not showed, there the covenant was of none effect. In other words, you can talk it all you want to, you can say, well, I believe it. But Brother Brad said, if you don't apply it, it won't do you any good. So you say, well, I believe it, but I just can't live it. Yes, you can. Because Christ is the one living before you. All you have to do is just die to yourself. That's it. Die, die, die. Let him, let go, let God, there's many ways to say it. But just let him have the preeminence. Let him live it for you. In other words, and look, he already has lived it. He already proved he can. So just let go and let him. In other words, a life hidden away would have done the man no good. The blood that Israel was to show openly on their doorpost and lintel represented the life of an innocent lamb that had died. And since life is invisible, then the chemistry of the blood became the outward visible showing that the lamb had died a substitutionary death. The death angel was coming through the land, and where the blood was already applied, the substitute death had already taken place, and the applying of the blood represented the life of the innocent lamb was on display. You know, when the death angel comes through and he sees you already dead, he's not going to kill you. Right? I mean, why would he go out of his way to kill someone who's already dead? And we are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. There's no way to have expressed that life, or to show the life had left the Lamb, except for the blood of the Lamb placed on the doorpost, because if the blood remained in the Lamb, it would still be alive. But the very fact that the blood was on the doorpost and lintel showed the blood had been shed and showed the person inside had identified with that sacrifice, with that bleeding, dying lamb, or with the innocent life of the lamb. And that's why Brother Brown said the blood itself was only the chemical that was available to express the life was slain. But today it is the life being manifested in the individual, which expresses the life of the innocent one who died. And that's Jesus. And he is now living itself out in the individual. That is why you see John 14:12 is the expression of the life of the Lamb of God in the believer. That is why you will hear Brother Branham speak of John 14:12 over and over and over again in this sermon, showing the expression of the very life that was in the Lamb of God is now on display in the believer. And when God sees that life, he sees the life of the innocent sacrifice of his son on display. And when I see the life, I'll pass over you. Now, I'd like to read from paragraph 75 again with our new understanding here. The Jews, no matter how much that they could prove that they were circumcised, but the token had to be showed. John 14:12 had to be expressed. Because that's the manifestation of the life of Christ and showing that the nature is there. And Brother Brown said, if the life was not showed, the covenant was not effective. It was same now, same thing. No matter what you do, no matter how much you can explain the Bible, you might be a Bible student, and you might say, I'm a believer, but still the token is required. You might say you are a believer. But the very life of Jesus must be showed. It must be displayed. It must be manifested in your life. A Bible student, you say, well, I was a good person, Brother Brown. I don't care what anybody says. You can't beat that man. I never saw him do anything wrong in his life. That don't have that to do with God. There's one requirement, and that alone, and you cannot do that. You cannot put the blood on the lintel of the door where the token could not be unless the lamb died. And the blood was a positive sign that the lamb died. No make-believe, the lamb died. You see, when these guys, like, would you say the Trinitarians, went forth and tried to produce themselves, John 14:12, or Mark 16, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about when he is living your life. And it's not a matter of the things that you do. You will do the things he did. It's not a matter of each individual item. And you say, well, okay, I prayed for this person. They got better. And I'm working up to, I'm going to work myself up to, maybe one day I'll pray and a person will be raised from the dead. That's not what we're talking about. Jesus said the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do. So it's not about you. It's about your focus is on him. That's it. Notice the blood, which represented the life of the lamb, was a positive identification that the life of the innocent lamb had been slain and was now applied to their life for all to see. Of course, because it was displayed for all to see and identified each home where that life was accepted and applied. Now we know that you are what you eat, and each family then was required to eat the innocent lamb, giving them energy for the Exodus and identification with its innocence displayed for all to see. And in this day, John 14:12 is the identification for all to see that your life also identifies with the life of the innocent Lamb of God, and it identifies you as a true believer, just as the blood on the doorpost did at the first Exodus. And the very life of Christ expressing itself out from your life shows that you have only been accepted. You have only accepted his life and his sacrifice for you. It shows also that you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, that is what Brother Branham is telling us here in the next paragraph. He says, if you truly understand what I've been talking about, he says, the Holy Ghost is a positive token that your Lamb has died. And you receive the token upon yourself. For his very life is in you. See, there's no make-believe. There's no put-up. There's no impersonation. It's there. You know it. You know it. The world knows it. The token is there. Because the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And also in Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Why? Because dead men do not lust, nor do they make any provision for their flesh. That's why Brother Brown put a crucifix in his car. Because when he's driving down the road, if you see something coming up that is not godly to look at, just turn your eyes upon Jesus. Get your eyes off what's coming. You see it from a distance, there's no pull there. But if you get too close, there may be a pull. So you just put your eyes upon Jesus. Then Brother Brown said, no matter how good the person was, it might have been a Bible student, it might be any kind of a good church member, it might be a good person, it might be a denominational head, it might be the hierarchy of Rome. I don't know who it is. It's not, but don't make it anything. But Israel, any Bible student knows that Israel was a type of the church exactly, to the promised land. That's where she's journeyed. But when the evening time came and the journey was on, there was one solemn requirement. No matter how much Jew he'd been, how well he kept his crops, how well he'd taken care of the neighbors, how much he had done, how good a member he was, how much tithes he had paid, all these things was fine. That was okay. He was a good man, recognized among his people as a good man, but without the token of the blood, he perished. Paragraph 78. Oh, may God help me, both present and in the tape, to pin that down. That no matter, you might have preached the gospel, you might have cast out devils, you might have spoke with tongues, you might have shouted or danced in the spirit, but without the token. You see, any expression, any religious expression, you might have done it, but without the token, without the life of Christ manifested in your life, you say, well, can I do it? Paul said you could. Though I speak with tongues like men and angels, though I give all my goods to feed the poor, my body to be burned as a sacrifice, I have faith to move mountains, and these things, I'm nothing yet. Hallelujah. Don't rely upon that. It's the token. No matter how much you've done, how good you are, when the wrath of God flashes, it only recognizes the token. It'll only recognize the life of Christ manifested in the individual. Paragraph 79. It is a token that a price has been paid. That's been required. And the price that was paid was the life of Jesus Christ, and he gave his life, and his spirit come back upon you as a token that you've received. Then you carry the token with you day and night. Not just on Sunday, it's all the time. You have the token. When the blood shall be a token unto you. You say, I still believe. I'm a believer. That's all right. But if you reject the token, which is the expression of that life in the Lamb, which is John 14:12, then how are you going to be a believer? It speaks against you, see? It speaks against your testimony that you do. Bible student, good person, church member, ever, what you are doesn't mean a thing. Yes, sir. Maybe your father was a preacher. Maybe your mother was a saint. Maybe, that's okay. They have to answer for themselves. And as I said, people try to make God some big old fat doting grandfather, see? A bunch of grandkids, that's like little Rickies and Elvises, and there's no harm in them. Not God. He has no grandchildren. He's a father. And you've got to be born again. He's not big and soft and doting. He's a God of judgment. The Bible speaks he is. His wrath is fierce. Don't you trample on that and expect the goodness of God someday to take you in your sin and to take you to heaven. If he'd done that, he'd excuse all of this here and have took you. You'll believe his word or you'll perish. And when you believe his word, the token will be upon you. And as we read last week, you can't say you believe if you don't do it. He says if you don't live it, he says you don't believe. Now, paragraph 81. Death was already to strike Egypt that night at any time. And brothers and sisters, the death angel is on his way to this earth as we speak. First, the economy will go because there must be a squeeze. And the word squeeze that Brother Brown used is an economic term that you can only find in the Wall Street Journal and other financial newspapers. And as it was in the Alpha, it will be in the Omega. Before the plague struck, Egypt and the people were squeezed by Pharaoh to make bricks without straw. So the squeeze must come before the judgment, the tribulation period. And we already see the beginning of it. How much closer then is it? Brother Brown continued. It was a fearful time in all their ceremonies, all their feast days. It's interesting that we're coming up to the last one. All their feast days and fast days, God had visited them. God had showed his great signs and wonders in the midst of them. And what is that? Now, stop a minute. God had showed them his grace. He'd give them a chance. They couldn't turn it down. They said, oh, there's nothing to that. It's nonsense. It's just something up in the cataracts there. There's an eruption of red mud that flew out. See, they're trying to explain away the blood in the water. Remember when the river turned to water? That's what made the sea red. Then the hail came. Then the frogs came. God had prepared a place and put his word in a prophet's mouth, and when he spoke, it come to pass. Now we have many things that William Branham, prophet of God, has given. He's spoken to us in this hour, and many of them are coming to pass. And they seen it. And they couldn't deny it. What Moses called for, that's what Moses got from God, because he only spoke the word of God. He said, I'll make you a God. Moses was God to them, see? They know no difference. So he said, you'll be a God and Aaron will be your prophet. See, you'll be like a God. For I'll take you and your voice and I'll create with you, I'll speak, and the people can't deny it, because right there it is. What you say will happen. Oh my, I'll show you those things. And Egypt saw it, and they saw it just before the evening time or just at the evening time. And he showed them his goodness. He showed them that he could take it away and heal. Now magicians try to do the same thing, the impersonators. You always find them. There was Janice and Jambers. They stood there, but when it comes to the real thing, they didn't have it. That's right. They followed along a little while, but after a while, their folly was made manifest. And don't the Bible say that the same thing will take place in the last days? As Janice and Jambers withstood Moses, but their folly was made manifest, so will it happen again. See? There it is. Men of perverted minds, reprobate concerning the truth, the fact. They might have congregations and great things, great high, big flowery things, but the hour will finally arrive. Stand steady with the token. That is what God wants us to do. Hold to his word. Don't move from it. Stay right with it. The Bible said so. Death was striking. God had showed them mercy. He has showed power and signs. Paragraph 83. Now, let's stop just for a moment or two on that clock there. Let's just think in our minds back what he promised would happen in the last days. I wonder if we hadn't just about to check up too. He'd done all these things, and yet they still desired not to repent or to believe the message of that day. They still didn't want to do it, although it had been displayed before them and had been surely made known. And when you see such things taking place, it's the sign of the oncoming judgment. Judgment will follow those things. It's always done it, and this won't be no exception. See, judgment follows grace. When mercy is burned, there's nothing left but judgment, so it'll always follow. Now the scene, every spiritual happening is a sign from God. You know, Brother Branham was of the nature that even if three little leaves stirred in kind of a circle in his car, he took his hat off because it just might be God. Brother Branham was very reverent that even when people stood up and spoke in tongues, he'd just tell the people, now don't mock it. You just be careful. So maybe the Lord has something for us to hear. Always looking for the presence of God. Never turning it down saying that's a bunch of hogwash. Always looking for the presence of God. Every spiritual happening is a sign from God. Be careful. Now notice that. See? Watch. Every spiritual happening, everything that happens is a sign. All right then, what about the storm in Uganda? I'm just going to bring some things up from my own ministry. What about the weather in Kentucky and Argentina? What about those three rainbows in Congo? He said every spiritual happening is a sign from God. Both Brother Billy Paul and Brother Vail believed that those things were from God. And yet people mock. Well, every spiritual happening is a sign from God. Now, we're not here by accident. These things just don't happen by accident. It's a sign. It's a sign to get to safety quickly. Noah was assigned to his generation. Elijah was assigned to his. John was assigned to his. See, everything. The message of the hour is a sign. Watch. Now watch it. Look what it's doing. See, it's a sign. Everything has a meaning. At no other time could this type of message ever happen. It could not have come in Luther's day. It couldn't have come in Wesley's day. It couldn't have come in Pentecostal day. It couldn't do it. See, there's been no such thing that happened. And yet it was promised in the Bible. See, we're at the end. Nothing could happen. It wouldn't have happened till this time, and it's happening for a sign and a wonder. Now, what is a sign? Oh, little people, oh, my brother, my sister, get under the token quickly. See, don't. Don't take no substitute. Don't do that. See, don't just imagine it. You stay there until you know that the token is applied. Until your whole, the mind that was in Christ is in you. Until all the nonsense of the world is gone. Until the whole heart's desire is Him. See, then you know something's happened. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not make believers, but believers, see. So there you go. The token is the life of Christ in the individual. But it has to be applied. It must be applied. For without it being applied, then when the death angel comes, he will not pass over you. There must be an identifiable characteristic that he lives in you. And it is his life and his nature reflecting from you and speaking as he speaks, living as he lived, acting as he acted, and doing the things, the works that he did, you do also. There's your token on display. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, from the token, paragraph 49, Brother Branham said, now the very Spirit itself is a token. The Holy Spirit itself is a token, not the blood, but the token is the Holy Ghost upon the church that they see Christ. So what's the purpose of the token? To see Christ. From the token, paragraph 62, he said, that's a cutting message, but it's the truth. That's what we need, is truth. God help us to know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I claim that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever, and I believe that God gives the Holy Ghost as a token right now, just before the exodus of the bride going out of the church. I believe there's so much tummy rot, and people saying that they shouted, and they spoke with tongues, and I believe in those things, but you can't rely on those things. How can you rely on that and then deny the Word? See, the token is the Word. Listen here. The token is the Word identified in you, living itself out. Okay, what's that? John 14:12. That's God being his own interpreter. You don't have to say, well, now you interpret my tongue. That ain't it. He interprets your life by the Word. When he takes your word, what you are, and identify his word through there, it don't need no interpretation. It's already there. God does his own interpretation, and we've had these promises for the day. So, notice he says, the token is the word identified in you, living itself out. Now show me where that is not John 14:12. The word itself, living itself out in you. He interprets your life by the word. When he takes your word, what you are, and identify his word through there, it don't need any interpretation. It's already there. God does his own interpretation, and we've had these promises for the day. And from his sermon, we would see Jesus, Brother Branham tells us, that John 14:12 is for all, and he tells us what purpose it is for. He says, but now, while he's here working with his church in the form of the Spirit, then if his Spirit is with us, he will act just exactly like he acted when he was here on earth. It'll make you act the same way, because it's not your spirit anymore. It's his spirit in you, Christ's spirit in you. The things that I do, ye that believeth on me, St. John 14:12, the works that I do, shall you do also. See, we'll do the same works, we'll think the same thoughts, live the same type of a life. If the Spirit of God is in you, it'll make you live like Christ, Christ-like. Then you become a written epistle read of all men, Christ in you, reflecting his light out of you, as God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and reflecting God from his own body. No man can see God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared it. God was in Christ, and what Christ's attitude was God's attitude, because the two work together, the Spirit and the flesh united together. In other words, we are to come to the place where we are so reflecting Christ that the world, they won't see Jesus Christ, but they'll see you. They'll see him in you. Now, from identification, we've got to take the entire full gospel. We must. And now, being that we have identified ourselves as full gospel people, let's mold our character. We're invited to be molded in his image that we might reflect his presence. And the works that I do, shall you do also. The life that I live, so shall you. You can't get around it. You know, people that want to make John 14:12 some super duper, doing a bunch of miracles and sign of Messiah and all this, forget it. It's the life. It's the nature. You'll do things that he did if God tells you to do those things like he told him to do. Because Jesus said the Son can do nothing but what the Father shows me first. If he tells you to do the same thing, you're going to do it, because you got a love and a heart that wants to just please your Father. See? He said, we're invited to be molded in his image that we might reflect his presence. The works that I do shall you do also. The life that I live, so shall you. We're invited by God to take him as an example and let our character be molded like his. What a thing, my. Then when we let his character be in us, then we have become sons by having the mind of Christ, the mind, which is his character. The mind makes your character. Let the mind, Paul said, of Christ, this mind that was in Christ, be in you. Let that mind of Christ be in you. It molds the character of a son of God. In fact, what's interesting is, if you go to the NIV, where the King James says, let the mind that was in Christ be in you, the NIV says, let the attitude that was in Christ be in you. So you see, the mind and attitude, same thing. It's your character. Now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Brown said. Now, notice why he did it. Now, listen. Why did he do it? Now, listen at him when he addresses him. Rabbi, teacher, see? Rabbi, we know. We who? The Pharisees, the religious world. We know thou art a teacher that come from God. Why? Because you got a degree? No. Because you speak so eloquent? No. Because you are an educated man? No. Because you belong to a certain denomination? No. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. Why? Because no man can do the things that you do except God was with him. There you are. No man can teach the things that you teach. Not. No man can teach the theology you do. Not. No man could do these things or teach the Bible like you do. But no man can do the works that you do. There's one thing to teach something, and there's another thing for God to confirm it and say it's the truth. There's one thing to say something, it's another thing to do something. It's not hearers, it's doers. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith, Paul said, by my works. And if you believe it, you'll act upon it. You see that? If you believe it, you'll act upon it. That's it. And then your faith becomes works, and God can go with you then. Now, we know that you're a teacher come from God. We Pharisees, well, why don't you come and join with me then? Why don't you believe me? Well, of course, we have regulation. And our regulation is a tradition of the elders, which says that if you don't belong to the Sanhedrin or the denomination here in Jerusalem, why, we'll all be excommunicated. And therefore, we can't accept it. And yet, was willing to admit that no man could do the things that he did except God was with him. Why? God is proving his gospel. God always did it. From a prophet like unto Moses, Brother Brad said. Now, the reason that I believe in this church, the church of the Holy Spirit, is because Jesus ought to know how to set up a church. And Jesus said that the works that he did, the church that believed in him would do the same works. Paul said, if there come one among you, and you all speak with tongues and no interpretation, said the unbeliever will say that you're mad. But if one speaks prophesying and reveals the secrets of the heart, then they'll all fall down and say, God is with you. The order of Christ's church, not religious ceremonies, but the living presence of the resurrected Christ, that's the church of the living God, God living in his church, living his life. Notice, living his life, not yours. Living his life through you, though. And doing through his church, speaking himself out through his servants, as he did when he was here on earth. We can just let our hearts be so wrapped up in him and our spirit so under control that he can move in and take away our thinking and just do our thinking, confirming his word. Then we'll go away and say, truly, God is with us. In other words, Brother Brown is getting us to the place where he says, look, it's not about you, but God wants to work through you. But it's about him. It's about letting him live his life using your vessel. I stand at the door and knock, he says, and if a spirit of the devil is in you, you'll do the works of the devil. If you're an outlaw, if John Dillinger's spirit was in you, you'll pack guns and kill people. If the spirit of anything was in you, it'll make you act like the person. If the spirit of Christ is in you, it'll act like Christ. It'll do the works of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. There you are. And from possessing the gate of the enemy, Brother Bassett, in the church of the living God this morning, lays the power to heal all sickness. In the church of the living God lays power to overcome all temptation. There you go. The power is there to overcome all temptation. In the possession of the church of the living God this morning lays the power to change sin and throw it away and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In the church of Jesus Christ, whatsoever you desire, ask in my name and it shall be given to you. A little while in the world, the unregenerated seed, will see me no more. Yet you'll see me. Why? Why will you see him? Because I'll be with you and even in you to the end of the world. You see him because he's in you. See? What? The royal seed. The works that I do shall you, the royal seed, do also. I'll verify myself that I'm with you. For these signs shall follow them that believe. He shall possess the seed of his enemy, and he shall possess, his seed shall possess the gate of the enemy. No matter what the gate is, if it's sickness, if it's temptation, if it's sin, whatever gate it is, it'll conquer, and the seed of Abraham possesses it. From God identifying himself, he said, the pouring out of the Holy Ghost in the last days upon the common people has identified God's characteristics with the people. He promised it. It's the word. He said he'd do it. Nobody can take it back. He said he would do it. So all these things that he promised, that's what he does. He identifies his character. Yes, sir. Don't believe it. Don't believe my claims if my characteristic isn't that of God. Now notice in John 14:12, he that believeth on me, he said, has my identification. My characteristic. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. That identifies that the character of Christ is in him, displaying the characteristics of him. Amen. And from the Message of Life. Now, the Christian church should have real character then, and if the life of Christ is in the church of Christ, then it's got to have the character of Christ. It'll produce the life of Christ. It's just no more than just what we call in the South common sense. If the life of the Spirit of Christ is in the church, it has to produce that life. Because the life that's in you makes your character. And what kind of character ought we to be? Who have solemnly promised that we would serve the Lord Jesus as long as we live, and we baptized to his death and burial and resurrection, and have put our names upon the church rolls, take out place in Sunday school, and then go out and live something different? Oh, it's more of a detriment to the cause of Christ than all the bootleg joints that we have in America. God grant the day when men will live just what they are, and you can always tell them by their nature and by their makeup. That's why we had men like Jim Baker and Jimmy Swager. You know, men that Jim Baker, you know, he He got caught, you know, in the sexual thing, and he got caught with all the money thing, and he brought such a reproach against Christianity. Brother Brown said, that's the greatest detriment. The guy that's telling everybody, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, and then when you look at him, boy, what a mess. Jimmy Swaggart the same way. Faith wants to deliver to the saints. He said, Jesus said, if I do not the works of God, then don't believe me. But he did the works of God, and he said, I do nothing in myself till I see the Father do it first. Whatever I see the Father doing, then the Son does likewise. He said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. That was the church. Christ left this, that his church would have his Spirit. And the Spirit of Christ will perform and act and live like Christ. Amen. How can we segregate ourselves when Christ taught brotherly love? By this all men will know you're my church, when you've got love one for another. So we see we would see Jesus, Brother Bram said, now, while he's here working with his church in the form of Spirit, then if his Spirit is with us, he will act just exactly like he acted when he was here on earth, and it'll make you act the same way. Because it's not your Spirit anymore, it's his Spirit in you. Christ's Spirit in you. The things that I do, he that believeth on me, St. John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do also. See? We'll do the works, think the same thoughts, live the same type of a life, and if the Spirit of God is in you, it makes you live like Jesus Christ, Christ-like. Then you become a written epistle read of all men, Christ in you, reflecting his light out of you as God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself and reflecting God from his own body. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. God was in Christ, and what Christ's attitude was God's attitude. Because the two work together, the Spirit and the flesh united together. And in closing, Brother Bram said from the message, Faith wants to deliver to the saints. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. That was the church. Christ left this, that his church would have his Spirit. And the Spirit of Christ will perform and act and live like Christ. Amen. How can we segregate ourselves when Christ taught brotherly love? By this, all men will know that you're my church, when you've got love one for another. And from adoption or placing, he said, now, notice. Then the coming of the Lord Jesus is so close at hand, until the Spirit that from way down in here, just barely justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit, now right in the time of the coming of the headstone, the church has got to be so perfectly like Christ, until Christ and the church can unite together the same Spirit. And if the Spirit of Christ is in you, it makes you live the life of Christ, act the life of Christ, do the works of Christ. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Jesus said that, see? Now we're going to have, we got a ministry coming that's just exactly like the life of Christ. What does that ministry identify? The coming of the Lord. Let you know that's how close it is. And from you must be born again, he said, when you're born again, God vindicates you. I want to read that again, because a lot of people think God only vindicates a prophet. When you're born again, God vindicates you. That's how God vindicates all of his nature. What? By their fruits. That's the way he vindicates his ministry. That's right. All of his servants are vindicated the same way he vindicates nature. How do you know it's a peach tree? Because it brings peaches. How do you know it's an apple tree? It's bearing apples. How do you know it's a Christian? Christian signs bear from it. Christian life comes out of it. How do you know he's a teacher? The word comes from him. How did you know he's a prophet? The word comes through him. There's record vindication. It proves itself. How does it become that? When it dies and becomes one. That's right. When we die and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, it gets us with our calling. We stay with our calling. The fruits of the Spirit follow us when we are his servants. When we are born again, the fruits of Christ's life follows us. That's right. How do you know it's a peach tree? It's got peaches. How do you know he's a Christian? He acts like Christ. He walks like Christ. He talks like Christ. He lives like Christ. He's above sin. He's victorious. What does he do? Say, see what I've done? Christ didn't do that. He gave all praise to the Father. That's right. That's how you know it. By their fruits you shall know them. What must? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot even understand the kingdom of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, because we see again and again that your prophet is letting us know that unless we have the token applied, unless we have the token, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the very life of Christ, applied and living itself out in our being, then we cannot even call ourselves a Christian. We cannot call ourselves a believer. So, Father, there's only one way, because we can't do this on our own. It's not he that willeth or him that runneth. It's you, God, that showeth mercy. And you who began the good work in us, you brought us to this message. You said you would confirm it unto the end. You who began the good work shall perform it. It's not us performing. Jesus even said, the works that I do shall you do also. And then he said, ask what you will, and I'll do it. Jesus himself said the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise, because the Son steps into the vision. Help us, O God, to step into a Christian life. Talk like Christ, live like Christ, act like Christ, until the world sees Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we ask these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee.